That's the biggest issue, because when we are trying to achieve something that's literally not possible, but we keep trying to do that, we're going to always be overwhelmed because we're not getting to where we want to go. And so then we're like, let's do more. Let's post more. Let's create more content. Let's just add more stress onto my plate. So this is the number one place that I see entrepreneurs get super overwhelmed. You are listening to the Not for Lazy Marketers podcast, episode number 617. Hello, my friends. Happy Thursday. I hope you guys are having a fabulous week. It is like so beautiful in Austin this week. I just planted this weekend all of my spring seeds. So we have a huge, if everything goes well, harvest coming in the next like 3 to 4 months that I'm super excited about. It was really nice to be outside most of the weekend playing baseball with my kids and just enjoying the sun, but not too hot. This is like spring is the best time in Austin. Spring and late fall are the most beautiful seasons in Austin. And so we really take advantage of it and get outside as much as possible. I've been participating in the CrossFit Opens, which, side note on CrossFit, I know I'm late to this game, okay? I know CrossFit has been around since like 2011, maybe even a little bit earlier, but I started CrossFit a year ago, and I've shared a lot of my thoughts, or just my journey, I guess, and my goals on this podcast, but the CrossFit Opens, anybody can participate in. And they also are the start of the CrossFit season that leads to the CrossFit Games. So anybody can sign up for the Opens and actually officially register where their score gets counted and you see where you place in the entire world. And from there, I forget the amount, the top percent, like it's a small percent, but the top athletes then move to the quarterfinals. It's extremely difficult to even get to the quarterfinals. And then from there, semifinals and then the CrossFit Games. And it's the biggest athletic event in the world. There's, I think it's like 300,000 people that sign up to participate in the CrossFit Open. So it's the biggest event ever that people participate in. So take all the, you know, the Boston Marathon and all those things. This is bigger. And it's just super cool. Like the community, the way that they did it. I think I need to do a podcast on CrossFit, like not the workouts, but the business and the community building. So it's 3 weeks of the workouts, but you don't know what they are. They drop them Thursday at noon Pacific time and they announce the workout on that Thursday. And then you have until Monday to turn the workout in to submit your score. So you can do it twice in that time if you want. And I've done, of course, both of them twice. But it's just super fun. Like everybody's like, oh, what's it going to be? And like waiting for the announcement. And both times I was on a flight once and then on a call the other time. And like my phone is blowing up in these group chats I'm in with my CrossFit friends about what the workout is. It's just so smart. Such a smart concept and experience. You know, I talk a lot about creating an experience for your customers, and they have for sure done that. And then also the community, which there's something interesting there with the community, because I actually have this theory that a lot of people don't buy something or join something because they think they want community. I think they stay for the community. So with CrossFit, I didn't start CrossFit because I was like, oh, I really want community. Like I was almost someone who was like, I don't really care about community. Like I just want the good workouts. I just want to challenge myself. And I see this way of working out and I'm inspired by it. But now I am so surprised by how much I like the community. And I feel a loyalty to the gym that I work out at, to the point where like I've thrown around moving away from Texas. And like a thought in my mind is like, but I don't want to leave my CrossFit gym, you know? So it's just fascinating. So anyways, I have been participating in the Opens and I've been doing CrossFit for a year. So I've come a long way, but there's still a lot of the movements that I can't RX or haven't been. But I chose to go the RX route. So they give you an RX, which is like the prescribed version, and then you can go to a scaled where the movements get a little easier. But the way the system works, if you RX, you beat all the scaled people. So even if you can't do it very well, like you want to RX. So I chose to RX it. I did my first workout in altitude, which was challenging. And I did it twice. And the second time I did it, I beat my time by over a minute. So super excited about that. And then the last one had double unders. So that's where you jump rope and you flip it two times, whatever you call it. You swing it around two times. And prior to this, like I can't do them. I can do like one or two. I cannot string them together. And I've been trying to practice, but I haven't been as consistent. And so when I saw it was in the workout, I was like, I will get these between the time they announce this and the time I'm going to redo this workout on Monday. And I made massive, like I can now string together like 10 to 15 double unders when I couldn't even do it. So it was frustrating, but it was just cool. It's just cool. It really pushes you. So anyways, there's my story time for the day. And today I felt inspired to talk about organic marketing strategies that won't actually cause you to be overwhelmed. In many different conversations, one with a mastermind member, but also some of my friends, like I just noticed that organic marketing and content creation is what seems to cause the most amount of overwhelm and burnout in entrepreneurs, I think. And I think it's because there's not this clarity on how much is enough. And so we always feel like, oh, I should be doing more. I should be creating more content. I should be showing up on social media more. And especially when you're in the space where you don't have a team supporting you and you're doing everything, organic marketing is exhausting because unlike ads where you put up an ad and it can last for a month and you don't have to create new copy, new creative necessarily, with organic, it's like you need to have something every single day. With content, you need to have something every single day. And I do believe that content and organic marketing is important. I'm not saying like it's one or the other. I'm not usually a black and white person in most things. Like your ideal is to have a paid marketing strategy and an organic marketing strategy. They're just very different. And I do think people confuse the purpose behind organic marketing, and that's what causes the overwhelm. So here's what I see very often. I think that organic marketing, so posting on social media and creating content, is obviously free. It uses the resource of time in your life and in your business. And so a lot of times business owners in the beginning put a lot into that because it's free. So they don't have money to invest in ads. And so they spend time and they're like, if I just post enough, if I post good enough, like maybe I can figure out the algorithm. I'll just put my energy and effort into this. But what I typically see happens, like I'd say 90 to 95% of the time, is that that content doesn't give them enough momentum. So weeks, months go by and their business still really hasn't grown. And it's like, you can't just post and cross your fingers and like hope that they come. It doesn't work that way. I think that unless you get lucky and you go viral for the right reasons, because that's another thing too. Like sometimes people go viral and then they attract all these viewers who are not even their ideal customer and it totally messes up their page. And so unless you get lucky and your content gets this natural momentum, most of the time, the energy put into that could be put somewhere else that would move the needle more. Organic marketing to me is not really a big needle mover in your growth strategy. I think organic marketing is about nurturing. It's about nurturing the audience and the leads that you build and the community that you are building. You will see that I show up on social media regularly. Actually, my team does for me right now. I'm still locked out of social media. More on that in another podcast. I'll be coming back soon. But we post regularly, almost every day. And I obviously show up and create this podcast. Yes, I see growth from it. Yes, I have new listeners. And whenever we do some sort of promotion or live webinar, like we see registrants directly from our organic because we track this, but it's not a big needle mover in my strategy. It's a piece to the holistic ecosystem that I have, but I'm not counting on it to move the needle massively because for me, it doesn't. My email list and Facebook ads are what every single time move the needle. So the way that I would take your resources, if we were to look at the phases of your business, in the very beginning phase, when you haven't proven your offer yet and you absolutely don't have money to invest in ads and you need to make sales before you're ready to invest in those ads, I would spend a minimal amount of time creating content, probably still creating some content, but more so for the purpose of having something consistently out there and not depending on it for growth. So in the beginning, when I created my podcast, it wasn't like, oh, this is the answer to growing my business. This is the answer to getting new clients. It was, I'm going to build a platform that I know long term is going to build up and be valuable for my company and my audience. And I'm going to email it out to my list and nurture, but it's not my number one growth strategy. Okay. So in the beginning, when you're in that beginning phase and you don't have the money for ads, minimal time on content. So maybe that looks like 2 times a week you post and you start to create a weekly form of content, podcast, video, whatever. But your intention behind it is consistency and not moving the needle for your business growth, okay? All the time that you would spend now posting every single day and creating endless amounts of content, I would put it into trying to have one-on-one conversations. I know this sounds so simple. This is what I teach basically in the very beginning phases, because those one-on-one conversations, yes, they also take time, but you're choosing time as your resource if you don't have money, that you don't have another option, but they will go so much farther to making sales. And then once you have sales, we can take that money and we can put it into ads, right? Because ads are just going to be faster every single time. Now, another thing to note on this is if you don't know who your ideal customer is, if you have not done some deep work, like if you're in my Emerge program, you now understand the deep work that we do on your ideal customer before I talk about content and before I even talk about your offer. That is what most people are missing. Because if you don't understand your ideal customer, if you don't have that deep connection to them, you can't go create content. Because how could you create good content if you don't have that connection? Who are you creating it for, right? There's a big disconnect. So once you have that connection, create the content with the intention of consistency, the intention of nurturing, the intention of showing up. The other thing you're doing by showing up consistently during this time and having the intention behind it be consistency versus extreme growth and depending on it for your growth is you are actually practicing and getting better at making content. Because in the beginning, everybody is going to suck. And maybe you don't suck, but 100% chance that you will be better at it in a month from now if you do it for 30 days consistently. And then again, another month from there. And I've talked about this a lot. Like the beginning of my podcast, I'm on, you know, episode 600 and something. The beginning of my podcast was nowhere near where it is today. And the only way I could get to how I present podcasts today is do them, right? And so often people are like waiting to perfect it, waiting for it to be good enough. And it's like the only way you actually get to where you want to go is you do it and you practice and you put in the reps. So in that beginning phase, like if you are not making sales or you're making less than $60,000 a year and you don't have money to put into ads, I would spend 10% of your time creating content and showing up on one single social media platform with the intention of practicing and creating consistency. Yeah, you're probably going to build a little bit of an audience. I'm sure you will get some more followers. That's awesome. Message those people. Start conversations. Go into communities. Spend the rest of your time generating conversations that can lead to your product so you can get the sales so you can move to the next level. Because those conversations in the beginning, they're not sustainable forever, but they will massively move the needle and can equal sales so much faster than trying to hack the algorithm and post 10 times on social media and put out 5 videos. Like, that's where the overwhelm comes from. And the reason that people are doing that is because they have this connection of, if I do that, then my business will grow. We need to redefine why we are doing, why we're building an audience, why we are showing up on social media, why we're creating a podcast. Like I said, some growth will come from it, not your biggest needle mover, majority of the time. There are some cases that I know can prove me wrong because they've gotten lucky with their content or they're in a very specific niche, they've gone viral, but like the chance of that is very slim. So instead of getting completely overwhelmed and spinning your wheels for the next 30, 60, 90 days and then not seeing hardly any growth, be more intentional with the why behind your content and then put a lot of effort into having conversations. Go into Facebook groups. Go into other people's communities. DM all your new followers. DM all your followers. Like, do whatever you have to do to start conversations because that's what will lead to your first sales. Then you can invest in ads. So from there, that initial phase, now once you have some money, once you have a proven offer, the fastest thing, the fastest path to growth is ads. Because an ad you can put up and you can say, spend $20. And that ad is going to reach thousands of people in a matter of a day if you want it to, right? It's all dependent on your budget. So there's literally no arguing that ads are way faster than organic marketing. That is the way the game is set up, right? All the social media platforms, that's how they set up the game. You spend money on ads, your business massively gets more traffic, right? The mistake people make is they either one, choose to not spend money on ads because they're afraid and they don't see it as this game that it is, or two, they spend money on ads, but they have zero foundation, no idea who their ideal customer is, and don't have an offer very good. And so the money they spend on ads is just going to amplify the broken foundation that they already have, right? So as soon as you have a validated offer, you get to move into this phase where you're now building a strategy, a funnel, lead generation, consistency, and driving traffic to it and getting sales. And that is the fastest way to growing your business. Like, you cannot argue that because, again, that's how the game is set up. So what I'm saying overall here is stop treating organic marketing and content creation as the goal behind it being massive business growth. Immediately after you do that, you will feel a sense of relief and you'll probably reprioritize what you're doing. Again, there will be some byproduct of growth. I know I'm going to have my organic marketers on here who argue and like, no, organic marketing is great. I'm not saying it's not needed. It's just not the biggest needle mover. And I can tell you that in my business, in my clients' business, like, I've been behind the scenes, some of the biggest influencers' launches, they're spending a massive amount of money on ad spend. And yes, they are also posting on their social media and using their content, but it's 10% or less of their numbers when you go into a launch. The intention behind showing up consistently on their social media and their podcast, just like myself, is also nurturing. It's building the relationship and the connection and the touch points with my existing audience and my existing leads so that when I do launch or when I do want them to buy, they have the relationship. So where people are messing up is the why behind what they're doing with social media. So as soon as you shift the goal behind it, you can now look at it from a different perspective and say, okay, what am I going to do to move the needle for the 90% rest of my sales and my traction if it's not going to come from organic? Well, in the first phase, it's hustling. It's conversations. It's going out and finding the people. Then you get to move into ads as fast as you can to invest and massively speed up your timeline. So if you're looking at your organic right now, number one, it's going to vary greatly depending on the stage of business you're in. Like for me, I look at my organic as consistency is the goal. And we time our calendar with our promos and we definitely put stuff out there, but I'm not like, okay, I need all my registrants and my sales to come from organic. If I did that, I would not be growing. Like I would be not doing well. Most of my traffic comes from ads. So number one, understanding the phase of the business that you're at, and then understanding what your main goal and intention is behind your marketing. And regardless of where you're at, the goal is always consistency, but it's also leaving the space for where else you need to put the resources. So for me, that's ads. For you at the beginning phases, if you're not ready for ads, it's time and having conversations, right? Because the mistake people are making is they're putting all their effort, all their energy, all their eggs in the basket of posting on social media and creating content, and then they're not getting results, right? It's because you're counting on that to be the only way to grow your business. And, you know, magic doesn't really exist in doing that. As far as like tactically what to do with your organic marketing, I would definitely say most of the time, less is more. Like I am a big fan of really trying to create quality content without slipping into the perfectionist mode, but I would rather post less, but go a couple layers deeper on those posts than have double the amount of posts, but they don't really mean anything. Like one of my rules is we will not post something on my social media if it does not connect. Like if I don't see the post and I'm like, I felt that, you know, I can feel that emotionally in my heart connection, it's valuable, even if it's a sales post or even if it is to go sign up for something. I'd rather post less, but dig layers deeper. Same with my podcast. I'm not going to do a podcast every single day because it would totally water down my content because I don't have that every day, right? I want to put depth. I want to put thought into my episodes. So choosing your core form of content and your core platform to show up on in the beginning. And then as you expand, you can expand that. So maybe you've had a podcast for a while and you're going to look at YouTube, but the questions you have to ask yourself is like, can I truly do this with depth? Or am I doing this to check a box because I think it's going to grow my business? So when you take a step back and you look at your organic marketing, my question for you would be, number one, what's your expectation right now from your organic marketing? And when I say organic, I mostly mean posting and like creating social media content and then content such as a podcast and a YouTube. When you look at those two things and the effort that you're putting into them, what is your expectation about what that effort should be yielding? And is there a misalignment there? And if you were to take a percentage of that effort and put it somewhere else, put it into Facebook ads or put it into having conversations if you're not ready for Facebook ads, what would that do for your business? And are you just counting on organic marketing to move a massive needle in your business that will never get there? And so therefore you're setting yourself up for disappointment, right? That's the biggest issue. That's what causes overwhelm, because when we are trying to achieve something that's literally not possible, but we keep trying to do that, we're going to always be overwhelmed because we're not getting to where we want to go. And so then we're like, let's do more. Let's post more. Let's create more content. Let's just add more stress onto my plate. Like that's just going to create the overwhelm. And so this is the number one place that I see entrepreneurs get super overwhelmed, is because they just keep trying to increase the volume when they're not seeing the results they want. But maybe we just need to look at it differently. Maybe we need to pause and ask ourselves, why are we doing this? And what else could we be doing outside of this to get to the same result we're trying to get to? So I definitely think this is a little unconventional than what you'll hear people saying. You know, I think people listen to this podcast and expect me to be like, post 5 times a week and make 2 pieces of content. It doesn't work that way. It never works that way, right? I never will teach that. It's the principles. But I do think there's a big, big disconnect in the industry of digital marketing around the intention behind organic marketing. And I think the viewpoint of you understanding, like I run a multi-million dollar business. I have a pretty good size Instagram. I have a podcast that gets thousands of downloads a week. It's about 10, maybe 15% of the needle mover of my sales. But I know that it's doing a lot more than that. Like it's the 10 to 15% direct, meaning I can attribute direct sales, direct applications, direct leads to from my podcast and social media. But I also know it's part of the ecosystem. So therefore, I don't question, should I make two podcasts this week? Like, did I get enough sales from it last week? No, I'm making the two podcasts. This is part of my ecosystem, right? But I'm not putting all my eggs in this basket to fill and meet our numbers. And that is the same for every single big company, I promise you. More than you realize doesn't come from directly from their social media, because the social media is just part of the ecosystem. It is not the biggest needle mover. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. I've got lots of fun ones coming. I'm feeling super creative coming back into recording and being a little bit more in my business. I think the next podcast is going to tell you all about my 30 days off. I think I'm ready. I think I got my takeaways, and I'm going to tell you how I did it and all the changes I'm making after it. I think that one's coming next. So I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Not for Lazy Marketers podcast. If you love this episode and want deeper support with your marketing, head over to helpmystrategy.com to see how Hirsch Marketing can help take your marketing to the next level, no matter where you're at today. We help our clients scale faster than ever, find hidden leaks in their funnel, experiment with new creative marketing strategies, and help their business explode and be more profitable than they ever dreamed possible. Head over to helpmystrategy.com and see if you qualify for a free strategy audit with Team Hirsch.